Hi everyone, thank you so much for coming out. The first poem is called Midnight Reveille. Past midnight, and the filigreed sky is gray with a glow from stars large as lamps, winking to a lacerated world. This lace is magic, full of grace. It hangs on the dome of night like white birds hovering in the dark. Nearby, a creek rustles the random violence of a word in meadows where wildflowers move their lavender heads tousled in light. It is an act of deference, this nod to night, this being up in the dark, which is not dark, listening to wind, water, and the wicked stars. This next poem is a Pittsburgh poem, At the Zoo. October air glows, the city seems far away. I push the empty stroller. The baby toddles, unsteady, but proud. We pause before a habitat. A snow leopard glides to the glass. The baby startles, clutches me, then calms and stares back at the big cat. The dark rosettes are so close, we see black outlines, the buff. I hold the baby back. We cannot pet her or set her free. There's the baby. A little bit bigger now. This third poem, I mistakenly labeled it in the book as innocent. There's nothing innocent about the poem. In addition, the real title should be Observed at the Child Herald, which was the name of a bar we used to hang out in Washington decades ago. That bar unfortunately no longer exists except in the poem. She didn't really know how beautiful she was. That midnight hair, shot through with fire, eyes dark and nervous, recalcitrant, cheekbones high and quick, smile crooked, cranked up, frank, the whole thing totting up to more than the sum of its disparate parts. Astonishing how they came, whether called or not, the one preferring matches, though she didn't smoke. Another turning jokes, they shirred around the center, sticky flies, dragon-like wreathed in spiral streams, tail ends of jet entrails, seen through the faded sheen of a blood-black glass, flickering, frozen, and fit to be tied. Games of all kind they sprung, tarot, tea leaves, word names, handwriting sheaves read for fun and flirtation, and always itinerant dreams escaped some tongue or other, slippery and sleek, some blitzkrieg of the heart, this ruinous night, this memory in whose lap we sleep. What a waste! All that loveliness tossed before the very young. I spent many years of my life, almost 40 actually, working in the corporate sector. I see at least a couple of my fellow bankers and running dogs of capitalism here, hi Dean. This is perhaps for them or maybe an apology to them. The resurrection of dragons. Who would have thought Dragons still walk dark-paneled halls in downtown buildings, their obelisk eyes obscured by rimless specks, their spiked tails tucked into pinstriped, tailored suits. We had thought they were extinct. Surprise! In some darkened, dripping cave forgotten by St. George and evolution, the delicate, pale, speckled eggs lay uncracked until the heat of global warming hatched them out in new and sinister forms, shorn of allegory, the mythology of hope, their grim, curved beaks transmuted, shielding glistening, deadly teeth and mortal flames, still seeking maids and fortunes to consume. Yes, indeed, the resurrection of dragon is no dream or waking nightmare for the wary. They have learned through evolution's artful ways to hide the fire in their eyes with a smile and a puff on camouflage nicotine sticks. Held in large hands, when the claws are retracted, this learned from big cats. Beware, they are everywhere, ensconced in leather armchairs, their deep voices seductive and unsafe.
Here we go.
And this was in European trips many years back. April. In spring, when the sun slings light onto the earth's receptive palate, an impressionist suffused with rage and mute articulation, when the colors of the earth rise up and dream of daffodils, tulips, crocuses in drifts of snow, iridescent. I am 20 again, and trammeled by thoughts I haven't had in years, memories of April's past, sunrise on the Seine, the view from flashing windows of the night train from Siena, Barcelona, workers headed north, and everywhere, the early sun-soaked air stirred with words, rifts of song, melodies still sifting, wisps of days. I spent a summer once teaching in Germany, in southern Germany, at the School of Banking and Finance. They were really good at that, but still found some time to write a little bit about Germany. If I can find the poem. It's in three parts. One, high wind in Augsburg. There's a storm cranking up over Hauenstetten. The wind wheels through these rooms, urgent, fresh from the woods, where it scattered swans over a green lake from a querulous sleep. Siemens' vast lot is nearly empty. A few cars huddle against the wind, desolate, their owners lost. It is 5 a.m. and a gray light seeps from the sky. Clouds move with deliberate speed towards me. Birds shriek. It is the same storm that followed us home from Munich last night. The same garden, same wind sweeping the Englischer Garten. Two, Augsburg on a clear day. You can see the Alps from here, they say. On a clear day, standing on the edge of the dammed up Lech, a haze of damp heat like Bangladesh, sun beating down on my head and back, flat fields unfold on either side, dotted with durfer, neat white houses with slanted orange tile roofs, flower boxes at each window, hot pink, mauve. But always, in the not too distant east, a shadow streaming to the sky. 3. Dachau. These walls are clean. Neat cots stand in stacked rows. Between the barracks, two lines of poplars gleam. Barbed wire coils across the ditch. Above the fence, watchtowers mute in the sun. Dazzled by light, my eyes blink. Pebbles rise from the ground like ghosts. We drag our feet across the past. As Joan mentioned, I grew up in Bangladesh, where we lived in multi-generational families, and my grandmother was always giving me a lot of advice. Nani's advice: don't walk with your chest thrust out. Lower your head. Take small steps. Don't talk too much. Girls should be modest and quiet. And above all, don't go near a man, or else you'll end up with a baby. This terrified me. When guests came for tea, I stayed on the far side of the room. I should have mentioned already that the members of the Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange helped me workshop many of those poems, and these two new ones were actually most recently at the Pittsburgh Poetry Workshop. Driving on the PA Turnpike. Dusk, and the Blue Mountain lies in its own light. Soft peaks smudged against the sky, traversing the unintended day. I speed along the highway, road racing beneath me, tires throb, sparks flying, the way they flew once between us when you stood up and I fell into your eyes, the color of bright oceans, the unlimiting sky. And the one we destroyed and discussed passionately last night with a new name, Diminuendo. Nights when the arc of the mind is taut with possibilities, when the dour moods of day soften to cricket sounds, night birds calling to stars. When the heart is bare, uncovered, exposed for the renegade it is, the shields of habit shed for the dark. When the hum of the household dims, then, stretched out on my mind, like the movement of leaves listening to the moon's truculent cries as it leans to the task, fulfilling the sundry dark purposes of night.
Wow.